come to this far?
No! We do.
Hi guys, I'm Cole Anderson.
I'm Stella Erickson.
And this is...
Elliot Dahlheimer, and I survived Africa.
Okay, that was good. Okay, anyways...
I liked it better when you snorted at the end.
Sorry. I'll try to snort.
Quick, throughout. Do it.
Right now? What? I can't do that.
That's so awkward. Sorry. Anyways, welcome, Mini Micers. We're here for the Mini Mic Podcast, the Youth Mini Mic Podcast, here in the ROL Youth Room, where the expectation determines our experience, and we get to instead of we have to all the good things.
Yes.
This is you know this place.
Yeah.
It had this on the wall when you were here not so long ago.
It didn't.
Wait, really?
Before I left, this wasn't here.
Yeah.
Cool. What do you think?
I love it a lot.
Did you know this is the wall that we're removing when we expand the house?
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't have painted it.
Well, it served its purpose like for 1 year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a way that we could just take this wall with us in one piece. Put it into a new
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Save the wall.
That's good. Cool.
Yeah, that's really good.
I could start a chant on Wednesdays. Anyways, I'm crying laughing. This is so fun. We are here today with Elliot Dahlheimer. She survived Africa. She was on a YWAM DTS, had a blast, and now she's back.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to know all about your experience. I feel like most of the youth students that are going to listen to our podcast probably know who you are for the most part, right?
Yeah.
But they might not know like your experience with going to YWAM, why you went to YWAM.
Mm-hmm.
What it was like. So just take us right back to the moment that you felt called to go to YWAM.
Okay. So I had never even known what YWAM was, but my mom had mentioned it. And then it was from someone from our church, like a while back, like went to YWAM, and that's how she heard about it. And then she mentioned it, and then I was like, I don't, like, know about that. It's kind of weird. Like, I've never heard about that before. Like, I didn't want to be, like, gone from my family for that long and whatever. And so I didn't really know, and then I kept talking to people and saying that I was maybe thinking about it, but very, like, no, I probably won't, but it's, like, on the table. And then, like, everyone I talked to, like, that I didn't even really know, just like random people, they were like, oh, I did that. Like, me and my husband did that. Or like just such random things. And then I just kept hearing more and more about it. And I was like, I've never heard about this thing. And now, like, that's all I'm hearing from people is that they did it or like they loved it or they know someone who loved it. And so I really just felt like a pull and like a calling to go there. Like, it was really just like on my heart. And like, I just kept thinking about it. And I feel like the Lord was just really, really putting it on my heart. So that's originally how, like, that's, like, when I started feeling called to it and, like, yeah, signed up and stuff.
Was, like, missions originally, like, on your heart, like, when you were
thinking
about going to
school? No, I had never, like, had missions on my heart at all, actually. Like, I really just, I was super into worship, like, my whole life. So I was kind of thinking I would do something with that. Or do like a Bible school or something. But even when I went to YWAM, I was like, did not think that I was going to be called to missions after. Mm-hmm. And now I am. But I just, it was a total like change of direction for sure. Cause I was more thinking worship, like maybe I'll get like my realtor's license, like more of that aspect. Yeah. And so I had not even thought about missions, and to be honest, like, it's really scared me because of how close I am with my family, and yeah, I just didn't want to, like, be gone at all, really, from, like, my hometown, so, yeah.
Yeah, really cool. I remember you said this, like, before, like, your testimony from going to YWAM, so, like, what, like, did YWAM change your perspective on, like, God and having a relationship with him, like,
yeah,
just...
Yeah, like, how did it change my perspective, really?
Yeah.
Well, before I went to YWAM, I feel like I, like, because I grew up in a Christian home, and, like, with my parents, I feel like, honestly, my faith was always, like, my parents' faith. And I, like, didn't, like, the only, like, thing I really knew about the Lord was stuff I learned about, like, on Sundays and Wednesday nights. And so when I got to So that was like kind of like all growing up. So it was very honestly like confusing for me because I wanted to be like close with the Lord, but I wasn't like taking any like further steps really to like get to know him. And so it just led me into being like very confused on like what he was and who he was because I wasn't trying to find out. And yeah, so I feel like I was very lukewarm in a way of just being like my faith being based on like my parents' faith. And like I loved the Lord, at least I thought I did, but I didn't really know him. And so when I got to YWAM, my whole like my perspective shifted, not even because of like it was like really strange like being around like a crowd of people who was all like crazy for him, but at the same time like I feel like I kind of had that back here. And so in a way the thing that like shifted me was I would say the gospel and like the way that they kept like preaching that or like sharing the gospel and how like I was taught to like learn it like on the back of my head like share the gospel in 2 minutes. And I think that's like that's just like what I like what really like saved me. And like someone said like who or like if it's Friday right now or if it's Monday right now and Jesus is coming back on Wednesday, what are you gonna like change in between? Like are you gonna do something to change? And like then I was like, wow, I'm not like living my life like Jesus is coming back tomorrow. And I never actually like had that as a reality in my head. So I think the like perspective that shifted for me is making Jesus like a reality and like knowing the gospel and like actually knowing who he is. 'Cause that shifted into like being able to actually like know him, which made me like love him and understand him even more. So it was like a whole shift once I got there 'cause I was learning so much and actually like yeah, it was just a lot. And yeah, I would say that was like what really hit me and shifted my perspective.
It was a lot.
It was.
Yeah.
It was like what I just
You
said was
can't
a
put it to
lot.
words. It's just so much.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I can't. I can't like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like that is like going to YWAM. Because you went to Kona, which is like the base.
Yeah, I
Is
went
it
to
more than
Kona,
just
Hawaii, yes.
and I feel like your community and around it like has such an impact. Because
Yeah.
like you had church friends here, but I feel like it's just different.
Yeah, it was different in a way of seeing other people's perspective, I guess, on like who Jesus is and like knowing more people. And honestly, like a lot of them were growing too, like as well as like me, because we're mostly like the same age, so we're kind of all figuring it out similarly. But the people that I like got really close with and that had like even a bigger, I guess, knowledge of the Lord and like were deeper in their faith is what I think really helped me because I stuck to that. And then we were able to like help each other grow in a way. And then I had friends on the other side that like weren't really like were farther back than me or like didn't even know Jesus when they came to YWAM and like they somehow ended up there. So it was kind of a thing of being able to like learn from other people. But like actually know how to like learning how to also help disciple other
Yeah,
people while being like poured into. And I think while I was in Kona, it was just like a dump, like an overload of just like being poured into like message after message. And it was just so much to like wrap my mind around, honestly, for sure. It was just so much. It was a lot, like a lot of different things, like different topics every week. So it was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like I've never actually sat and like listened like every day and like tried like I don't know, like learned more and more of the Lord. And I feel like I was so hungry and like I had a heart just to like learn. And so it was really, really cool to just be able to sit and like learn and learn and learn.
Literally every day you
Yeah. With like-minded people, which is also really cool. So I feel like it could have gone another way where I could have gone somewhere else after like I graduated and grown by myself without my parents in a different way and then fallen away from the Lord. And so it was like that thing where I chose to go there and like actually get poured into with a bunch of other people. And I think having a surrounding of people that are like-minded is super, super important.
That's cool. I think there's like there, 'cause there's always like that argument, at least when I was growing up and probably the generation before me, it's not as like that prevalent, like you have to go to college thing. But they would always say between like choosing between like a Christian, like going somewhere Christian after school and going somewhere like secular, like depending on like the person, your personality, like it, like some people would thrive in the environment of like going into a secular space and like having to make their faith their own and choose Jesus and have conviction.
Yeah, for sure.
And then others, not to say you wouldn't, but like, but then others will thrive more when like they're surrounded with like a very Christian, like bathing really in like what it means to be a Christian and like getting like that huge outpouring of knowledge and time spent with Jesus.
That
So it's
makes
kind of like
sense.
cool and like two different paths. Like not everyone can go to YWAM, but like, or to anything even similar to that. Some people like are called to the marketplace to be missionaries too, and some people are called to like U of M. And it's like what is that going to look like when you step into the dorms, or the, I mean, like if you go out during a game day at the U of M, like you're driving down the strip and like everyone's having a party in their front yard at the fraternity houses. Like, what does it look like to be a Christian in those atmospheres?
Yeah,
I
for
think
sure.
that question that you shared is really jarring, right? Like if Jesus was coming back, so today's M Monday, you said Friday and Wednesday or something, but today's Monday, so if Jesus is coming back Friday or something, right? Sunday, like jarring for me, but like, well, gosh, what would I do differently? Anything? Like, and like, what would the average high school student do differently? Because that doesn't mean you get to drop out, right? Like, if God's not calling you to drop out of school just because he's coming back. I mean, like what does it look like to be in greater community? And you were kind of in a space where you're like already pursuing Jesus every day, like you have opportunity for like a worship service and a teaching and then prayer and like discipleship with different people. What it, now that you're like back in somewhat of like normal world, right? What would, like, if you were posed with the same question, or like even thinking back to high school, like what would you change Monday to Friday if you knew Jesus was coming back Friday and you heard about it on Monday?
I that's a
Like,
good
what would you do different? Like, what would it
question.
look like?
Yeah. I think that the thing that I would do that comes to my mind right off the bat is just have like set like quiet time with the Lord. Like not go, go, go. And I feel like that's how it always was for me in high school. Like it is stressful. Like you have homework, you have friends, like sports, like it just keeps going. But I never like I always kind of put like reading my Bible like on the back burner and like instead of making it a priority. And I think just like setting like 30 minutes in a day, you're gonna set a timer, like put your phone aside and just like be still, like set a quiet time for yourself. Like maybe 10 minutes, like you're just sitting and like trying to like listen to the Lord or just like sitting in his presence and like thanking him for what he's doing. And then 10 minutes of reading your Bible and then 10 minutes of application. Like actually have like a set thing that you do each day. And I don't know, like I feel like even if you don't want to do it in the morning, you can do it at night, like whatever works for you, but actually be like, I'm gonna do this and be like, hey, I can't hang out with you until in like in an hour because I still have to do my quiet time and actually making that a priority
That's cool.
to like fill your day with the Lord, like start it or end it or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do that and I feel like that's a lot that I was lacking from.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And I feel like when people say secret place, like before I went to YWAM, I was like, what's a secret place? Like, what are they saying? You know?
There's
Yeah,
a
but
secret room
there's a
out there.
secret room. Like, what secret room is everyone going to? Okay. Fill
And
me
they all know
in.
about it, but I don't.
I know. I'm like,
Where's the
what?
Christian club that I can go to? I just want to hang out at
I
the
know.
secret
Where?
place.
I like looking up like secret place on maps or something, but
Actually?
I, no.
Okay. Like, bro, you did
No,
not.
I did not. But what I've done is I've like asked the Lord, like in my mind, like, what's a secret place that he can always bring me to? And I have this picture that's like a tree with a swing, and I'm on a swing, and the Lord is there. And that's like what I always think about. And so when I'm like sitting in the secret place with the Lord, I shut my eyes and that place comes to my mind. And it doesn't have to be when I'm doing my quiet time. It can be separate, like during the day, like, okay, like I just fought with my mom. I'm going to like go and sit down and just like be in the presence of the Lord where he always brings me back. And it might change now and again, but like that's what like for the past 6-7 months has been like my secret place with the Lord. And it's really helped me a lot to be able to like go back to like an actual like space with him.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Even when I'm not in like my room or something, but like I'm in my car, but it's the same space with the Lord.
That's really cool. It's a really cool concept. But like you're physically in different
places, yeah,
but like spiritually.
You're in that place with the Lord, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing for like a secret place with the Lord.
I love it. Sick. Yeah. So you had that a lot time at YWAM as you're learning and growing.
Yeah.
The a lot time. We're gonna call it that, okay?
Okay.
And then as you're coming to the end, they give you like, how does that work as you're coming to the end? Because you didn't know for sure you were going to Africa as you started, right?
Yeah. So we actually found out like where we're going on outreach or mission very early. So it was second week.
Okay.
Or something. So the first week, end of the first week, they had like a video with all the places. There was 35 different places, different like countries that we were all going to. And so then you have 24 hours to pray about it and put in your top three. So I had New Zealand, Kenya, and Cyprus. So it was like super like all over the place, but that's just what I was like feeling.
Yeah.
But I actually felt Kenya so strongly. But I was like, New Zealand. Like,
so can you put like the same? Can you put the same one on three times?
What?
Can you put the same
one?
Yeah. So you could say Kenya, Kenya, Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to Kenya. You can't change my mind.
Yeah. But they pray about it. And we had a guy on our team that didn't put anything in Africa down, and he got Kenya and Burundi.
Oh.
So it's like not even guaranteed.
Sorry, dude.
I know. Yeah. It's
listen to the podcast. If you see us, hi. What's his name? Shout him out.
Isaiah.
Isaiah.
Or Isaiah.
No, he's a good. Wait. It was a life changing
story. Yeah, life changing.
Hold on, I stopped your whole team. That's the blog one.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I'm not weird. I didn't do that.
And her roommate. Stop.
I didn't do that either.
Yeah, you follow like all of them. That's so funny. No, it's not weird. You're just a supporter.
I am.
I forgot what
I'll we support were you too. About. Follow me and I won't follow you.
Follow ROLU.
Yeah, support us. Just kidding.
Anyway, so then I got, then a week later, at the end of the week, they had like us all get in the circle, and they were like, okay, we were gonna do like duck duck goose, but they were like being so like, we don't do games, so we were kind duck, of all thinking goose. Yeah, so we all got in a circle, which
and, all
like my whole 300 class
in a circle,
in a big circle, in like this arena thing.
This is weird.
And then I was, we were all like, something's
who
going
got to
on
stand in the middle, because that would be
fun. We were like something's going on, and they were like, okay, we have some, like we played like one round, and it was so weird.
How does that even work?
That's, I don't know. It like doesn't
I've
work.
I've done a half mile around.
I know. It was kind of like. We were all like bunched together in the circle. It wasn't like actually one.
Oh, okay, cool. So you're like,
we were like holding hands.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
300 person circle.
And then this video goes on this big, like this big screen, and we start like freaking out because we all kind of like knew it was happening. And it was like, find out, or it was like, do you want to like know where you're going on outreach? And then it just like, we were like screaming, like, yes, and whatever. We were like, it was so cool. And then it would like say the two staff name of a team, and then they would run in the middle of the circle, and then it would switch to the team, and then they would run in the middle with the staff, and then it would switch to where they were going, and then they would all run out of the circle, and then it would say the staff name again, run in the middle team, and like repeat.
And then you would like leave that place and like go chat with your team kind of thing.
Well, no, we would go back out into the circle because we're still watching everyone. Okay. And then after, you met up with your team and like went to lunch and stuff. And so that's how I found out. And when I was really happy when I first found out. I thought Burundi was like a city in Kenya or something. I was like, I'm going to Kenya. And like, it's like Burundi, Kenya, like the city or something in Kenya. And then I was like, oh, wait, like it's a whole nother country. And yeah. When I found, then I was like, oh, that's like cool. I'm going to two different countries. And then, yeah, I think it was just like a whole like adjustment.
Africa's like just a bunch of countries. Yeah, because it's a continent. So, yeah. I mean, I know, but like,
yeah.
It's like, I feel like people very seriously underestimate how freaking large Africa is.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Just like, I don't America, know like half of
I can drive to Florida. I'm like, yeah, because this country's tiny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's bigger than England and stuff, but like,
wide, but like,
yeah, Africa's like, blah, yeah, so big. Huge.
But that's when like everything got real for me because I was like, dang, I'm actually going to a different country. Like,
yeah, I couldn't imagine being in that big circle and just like excitement. And just,
I was
like,
so nervous. I was like one of the last ones, so I was like, where am I?
They forgot about
Did
my
I miss
name.
My name or something.
That would totally happen. I bet it's happened where like they just forgot to type something.
Yeah, I know, that would be so bad.
Could you imagine?
It's kind of like The Bachelor and you didn't get a rose. Just like pack your bags.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going home.
You just like book my flight and be like, I didn't get chosen.
Adios.
Oh, that would be so sad.
That would be. So you found your spot, bonded with your team.
Yeah.
Let's say week before you leave base to go to, where'd you go first?
Burundi.
Okay. So week before you leave to go to Burundi, what's like culture like? What's life like?
Like a week in Hawaii before I left.
Yeah. Like, what were you doing? Because I bet you were freaking out.
Yeah. It was like a weird feeling because I had made such close friendships in Hawaii and with my roommates and stuff. And so to think that we were like, my best friend was going to Peru to like stay in the Amazon and stuff. And
I would love that. I think that would be so like, I saw that and I was like,
like giant snakes and big huge mosquitoes
and spiders. I would not.
Aren't you the one that like freaked at the spider?
It was a tarantula, so yeah.
That's where they
I could not do the Amazon. I don't think I could.
No, I mean, I guess, I mean, you could, but like not first choice.
Yeah.
Everyone can.
Yeah. But anyway, it was just so weird because we were like all going to different places and I was packing. And no one ever prepares you for packing for 3 months, and you only can bring, like, two backpacks. And I was like I had to throw away so much stuff. My favorite blanket I had to throw away and not bring. And I will never have that back.
You probably could have mailed it.
I
know people in Hawaii.
But it was last minute. Anyway, I had to pack, and I had a trekking bag that was, like, pretty small, actually. A backpack and then like this other like purse bag thing. That's what I brought. And we had to get all the stuff for like camping. And I think the biggest thing was just packing. Like that whole week was literally just packing. And it was also super surreal because we didn't have our debrief in Hawaii. So we were never going to like be back with our class like in Hawaii. And it was just like, it was honestly really, really sad. Like I think we were so excited for outreach, but it was also like super, super sad for sure. Like leaving everyone.
It's different from like you leaving Minnesota.
Like, yeah.
I'm going to see these people again in like 6 months.
Yeah.
But these people I've lived with 24/7.
Yeah.
And I don't know them ever.
Yeah. So, well, we see them at the end.
Yeah.
And we had the debrief in Atlanta, but we're never going to like be in that space again all together in Hawaii. So yeah, it was really sad. But it was like an end of an era, but we were also so excited. So many mixed feelings. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of how everyone felt, I would say.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how was like just Africa and like your story? Like I want to hear all of it.
Yeah.
We don't have time for all of it. So let's just do
not
that.
All of it.
Top three.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you want me to like just say the top three stories or like how it felt like adjusting?
I feel like
everyone kind of knows.
I feel like we get that adjustment was like really hard.
Yeah.
I don't feel like you don't have to like go into great detail. I can imagine it was like crushingly hard in some ways.
Yeah.
Because that's the best part about creating anointing, crushing.
Exactly.
And then, but yeah, like what was your first like really cool experience that made you be like, I'm so glad I'm here and I'm no longer like sick of the idea of being here? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because the first like couple weeks I was like super homesick and like, wanted to go
just be like really hard like experiencing all the change.
Yeah, it was hard for sure, but I think the first thing that happened that I was like totally a shift of perspective and like I'm here for a reason was when we were coming back from a church and like it was only like half our team and we stopped because our contacts needed to get fruit and we're like, okay, like let's go out and like share the gospel. And
no big deal.
Yeah. And it's
don't
not
speak the language, we're all white. We're just gonna go into this village and share the gospel.
I know.
It's just so funny. Like you don't think about it when we like live in Minnesota, right? So like
yeah,
we're not a minority at all. But then you step into countries like that and it's like you get to feel like what it feels like. It's just so different.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if you're blonde.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to like shave off all of my hair. Anyway. So we went out of the car, and in Burundi, it's the poorest country in the world, so they are always, like, wanting to steal stuff, and, like, our team got, like, grabbed all the time, and it was just, like, not very safe, so even going out and, like, sharing the, like, going out of the car was, like, something that I had to, like, lean on the Lord for, like, not, like, being, having peace, I guess. Like, I was still, like, had to be aware, but mm-hmm. not, like, letting that, like, invade my minds of being, like, fearful, yeah. So we went out of the car and it was night and I shared the gospel for the first time on my trip because it was like the first week or two. And I think I like prayed to the Lord before because I was actually like super nervous. And I just felt like so much peace and like everything that came out of me was so like of the Lord. And so I think that's when I switched because I was like, wait, I can do this. When I was kind of thinking like, can I? Like, am I capable? Like, you know, like, I feel like someone could do this better than me. And I think it was, like, a validation that, like, the Lord wanted me there and he was going to use me in that place. Yeah, and it's him that has the glory and it's not about me. So I feel like when I did get into that, like, can I do this? It's almost like a selfish thing because it's like, can I do this? But it's actually, like, the Lord that I have to lean on.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's going to be doing it. So, yeah. But when I first preached the gospel, I think six people got saved and it was like, it was crazy. It was That's so cool. Really good experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Lord really worked. Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think we say that to our students all the time.
What?
That like, can I do this thing? Like, or at least I feel like I say it all the time. Maybe it's like student leaders and stuff, but like everyone's always like, oh, like that's not my role. Like, I'm not supposed to be the one doing that. Like, somebody will share the gospel with them. I'm like, dude, yeah, like, somebody will. Fine, whatever. But, and maybe, like, someone can do it better than you, but, like, no one can do it like you.
Yeah.
Like, God's calling you to do it because he wants you to do it. Not because he wants Stella to do it or Elliot to do it. Like, because he wants you to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's like, when you're, like, Elliot's saying, like, when you're not willing to, like, follow that call, then you're, like, being so unfaithful to
yeah
what he's want, like he really just wants to use you. Mm-hmm. And then when you can surrender and have that moment, like maybe six people get saved, maybe nobody does, but like he shows up and works through you.
Yeah
and it's always still, faithful to do that.
Yeah, there's like still a seed.
Yeah I don't think our goal, and maybe the missionary should be saying this, not me, but I don't think our goal should be that people get saved. It should be like Jesus is glorified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right, and he's glorified in our going and in our sharing. Not he's glorified in saving too, like he's glorified when souls are saved, but
yeah.
But our first and foremost responsibility isn't to the other person, it's to Jesus and like following his call.
Yeah.
And how he's leading us, and then like the fruit of being responsive and obedient is souls, right?
Yeah for sure.
Is that what missionaries say?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean that's like our whole thing. Yeah, is like God being glorified in that. And like there's outreaches that go to the Himalayas where it's closed or like other places that are closed and they don't get one salvation. And like, you have to understand that it is like God that you want to glorify and like you did grow and you are planting seeds,
mm-hmm.
but it is like, it's hard. Like when you don't get salvations, when you do, like no matter what, like God has to have like the glory. And it says that in the Bible. So yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff. That was one story. Should we hear another one?
Yeah, I have a question. So
I like questions. It's good.
She has a question.
So Africa is what was the
I have a question. Just kidding. Go ahead.
There has to be like a lot of like spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Because that's
for
where
sure.
Like, all like just like
like voodoo, is that word?
Like lots of witchcraft.
Yeah, witchcraft.
This is a very spiritual people.
Very spiritual, yeah.
Yeah, so what was it like? Did you like feel like there was spiritual warfare going on?
Yeah. I feel like especially when we were staying in the mountains for 2 weeks, it was like a place like when they didn't have anything, like we slept in tents, like there was no like bathrooms there, like anything. And so it was very like they lean on like witchcraft, and like all of them, most of them have like scars on their necks from like being cut and like putting like medicine or like whatever into their chest to like try and like make them feel better, I guess, and like different spirits like will enter. Like that's what they believe in, like that's what they want. But I think that, yeah, I think that was very hard. A lot of different places, like our team did feel very heavy, but it also felt like we are also able to like release heaviness off of other people, because we delivered people from demons, I mean, a few times up there. And yeah, so it was cool to see how I mean, it is so real. Mm-hmm. And so like when you do like deliver someone, you can see it, like you can see the spirit and like looking in their eyes, and like you can see it when it's like not them, and like in severe cases, I mean, it's not always like that, but
like the heavy
oppression. You can't always tell when someone's possessed, but there was a lot like that you could just see like visibly there. And I know one story, this woman said that she went to the witch doctor, and like that's just kind of like all their background, like they've all just like went to the witch doctor. And she had these like dream or these like nightmares at night, and these things telling her to kill her daughter. And it is like, and she like didn't know what to do, like whatever, like it was very hard for her because she like it was like a pull to do that. And my team was able to come and like deliver her from that, and we had checked up on her like weeks or like later, and she, or like when they prayed for her, she was like, wow, like was like laugh, like smiling, like she was like, I feel like a joy, like I hadn't felt like this. And like you can to see like actually like that being lifted off of people is really, really cool. But in the meantime, it is super, super heavy because of like what they're leaning on and what they're going to is really hard to see when you know that there's more, you know, you know that there's like another side. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they're just searching for like with the woman, like just the freedom from that spirit or whatever. But like,
they don't know that. Like some of them don't even know like who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very heavy thing, and it's hard, and to see like the poverty and the stuff they go through, and they don't have like money to go to hospitals. So then they lean to that because it's cheaper and they're like right next door. And it's, so it's hard to be like, you like, I don't know, like it's a, you have to reach them and you have to talk to them and like be friends with them, because like they don't know really a lot of them. And so it's hard to see like the enemy attacking people in that way. And it's, yeah, it's really, really sad. It's really, really hard for sure.
When you know what there is, like freedom.
Yeah, freedom on the other side. Yeah. So, but we are able to help a lot of people in that aspect, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But there's always like more, and there's always more. And so it's, yeah, it's hard for sure to like deal with that too on missions. It's like another side of it. Being like
guilty that you can't do more,
like almost like that guilt that you're not, like I'm not there right now, like I could be saving more, like helping people know Jesus or like or like whatever. And so I think that's probably another thing, even coming back here, skipping to that, but like get like not feeling like, oh, what am I doing here, like I'm not doing anything, when you're doing ministry, used to doing ministry every day. And it's just, yeah, I would say that was hard being there and seeing all the poverty, and like it was so heartbreaking, and not having actual a lot of resources, I guess, to give them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Besides the Lord, which obviously helped a lot. Like, they were able to, like, see him and stuff. But the kids that don't eat for months, it's, like, it's hard, you know, to be like, oh, I can't. Like, if I don't have anything. I only have the Lord. And so, and then to look back at how we live here and, like, throwing food away, it's, like, yeah, it was heartbreaking for sure.
Yeah, so, like, you got back. You, like, but got back to, like, you, like, wanted to go back. Because, like, you saw, like, how much money helped there.
I would say, like, I definitely feel like I want to do long-term missions in the future. And, like, coming back, I definitely, like, miss that, and I miss my team. But right now, I definitely feel like it's okay. Like, the Lord is saying it's okay to be here, like, for a season. That feeling of guilt and stuff. Because there are teams there that are, like, working there right now. Mm-hmm. And so it's really good to see, like, at both the bases I'm at, there's teams right now, like, working there. And, like, it's not just, like, we left and now there won't be a team there for years. It's, like, ongoing stuff. So it's really encouraging to see. But, yeah, I definitely want to do, like, long-term, like, 2-5 year, like, 2-5 year missions, like, at a time. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I feel like that's way – it's almost more impactful, especially for closed nations, because you have to, like, make relationship.
So what is a closed nation?
It means that you can't, like, you can't preach the gospel and you can't, like, talk about Jesus. And so in Central Asia and, like, Turkey and different countries in Africa are closed. But, like, there you have to, like, make relationships and you have to, like, be friends with them and invite them into your home. And when you invite them into your home, you can talk about Jesus.
So it's more like it's long.
Yeah, and it takes, like, years or a year to get a salvation. So it's different than, like, my outreach. We got, like, over 1,000 salvations. Yeah. So it's such a praise. And then, and I'm so thankful for that. And it was crazy and so, so good. But it's also, the Lord's been giving me a heart for the closed nations as well. So, yeah.
Do you feel like had to, to protect yourself after, like, encountering,
like, just, like, warfare? Yeah.
You turn it off?
Just now. It's back on.
Is it actually?
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel like what my team did every day, we would have intercession. Mm-hmm. So, like, prayer and worship. And we would do that every day and for, like, an hour. And then I think that was honestly what, like, because it is so real, like I said. And so being able to protect yourself spiritually. And, yeah. And so I feel like we are so, like, surrounded. But, like, if anyone, like, felt heavy or anything, we would just pray off anything. Yeah. And just, like, being vulnerable and honest with the team was really, like, really good for us and, like, kept us strong for sure spiritually, instead of, like, even, like, gossiping and then you're, like, almost like you're letting a spirit of gossip in and then, like, something happened, like, I don't know. So we just, you have to, like, come up front with stuff. And I think that's what kept, like, obviously we definitely, like, were all human, like, we had downfalls or, like, things we had to confront. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, the confronting that kept different things out that could, like, grow and whatever and make, so I feel like spiritually we are really we just, I don't know what the word is, but we are strong in that. So I feel like we are protected by the Lord in that way. Pray over each other and, like, confront and, like, say, be vulnerable. If you are feeling something, we would pray it off, because, like, people did get nightmares on our team if we were in, like, a bad area, and we would just, like, pray and pray and pray and, like, you know, and the Lord worked and they didn't have nightmares anymore. But there was definitely different, like, things that were darker, but just leaning on the Lord for understanding was what we did.
My mom called it something when you, like, pray over someone, like, healing, spiritually, physically, and then it's, like, don't know if she calls it like a splatter, but like you then later feel like you feel someone's like physically like their knee pain.
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
Oh, you're
like, you have knee pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that happens too. Like if you put off like you are in a area where it's like there is like spiritual oppression and it's so strong that it like even if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, like you can experience that.
Yeah.
As well.
For sure. And I feel like sometimes it's like almost the Lord telling you. Like sometimes we didn't know. Like we'd walk into a place and we're like, oh, it seems fine. But then we'd all feel heavy and we're like, what's going on here? And that would make us like ask the person a question, like what was your childhood like? What was different things? And we would see that like that they had been struggling with witchcraft or different things and were like being like taunted. And so honestly, sometimes the heaviness isn't always from Satan. Sometimes it's like almost from the Lord telling you that they have heaviness.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So we definitely had to be like prayer warriors for sure and vulnerable. Because when you're with a team of 12, it's not always easy to like be like in a good mood with every single person. Like sometimes you have to like confront and like be like, hey, like, sorry, I've been like struggling with this, or like be vulnerable with team. Sorry, I like was in a bad mood last night. Like I was tired and whatever. Yeah. And we were all so different. And so it was definitely a balance of being like, okay, like being able to like love on everyone and not get like annoyed easily. Cause I feel like I'm just not used to that, like being surrounded, but being in Kona was able to kind of prepare.
Yeah.
But like then when you're on outreach, you're like with the same people mm-hmm. for that long in like a place you've never been. So it's super stretching and you're being stretched with other people.
You only have each other too.
Yeah. And people have like good days and sometimes like a day that they're in like a bad mood, but like we all like give so much grace because mm-hmm. we just understand, you know, and, mm-hmm. and by the first month, like we kind of like all knew each other. Like when they're in a bad mood, like maybe go up to them and be like, hey, like how are you doing, or like give them space. Like people like need like different things when they're like going through something. Yeah. So it was just I think learning and like giving grace the first few weeks was for sure what I needed to do, and people needed to give grace for me because sometimes I was in a bad mood or hungry and complaining and like you know. So it was just an adjustment for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's any mission trip.
No, yeah.
Vacation, outside of normal, people just
literally
about the littlest things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be exasperated at 3 months or something.
Yeah.
So, what time is it?
1:57.
Holy smokes, we've been going.
I know. I was like, this is getting long, but
it's good.
Oh, yeah, we took like, to be fair, we took like 10 minutes to do that intro.
Yeah. No, it was natural.
I didn't take 10 minutes, Stella. when we go into summer, I feel like we should totally, like, we could totally do longer podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 2 hours.
Oh, gosh.
I would love to sit around and talk with friends for 2 hours.
That's you think someone would listen to 2 hours?
I listen to 2 hour podcasts, yeah.
Actually?
2 or 3, yeah.
That's
I
crazy.
Never listened to them on normal speed though. You got to do like 1.5 or something.
Oh,
and then you cut the time down.
I'm like driving, so like
I still cut them down by 1.5. You don't? You listen to them at the normal speed?
Yeah, so I can like.
You said it's a.
I can actually absorb it.
But your mind's able to comprehend information faster than it can read it though. Huh? That's why you can listen to it.
I like outwardly think when I listen.
Don't need to try it. You haven't tried it, so.
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna try it, but.
Try it. Oh.
Hopefully, this doesn't like turn. Wasn't off the whole time.
No.
But when I pressed the button, it had turned off, so it's definitely on. I want Starbucks.
Mine's off too. Oh, what the heck?
Are you joking?
Oh my gosh! Wait, guys, that reminds me of earlier today.
Wait.
When do we think it turned off?
I don't know. Mine just turned off. I've been looking at it the whole time. But I haven't really been using it, so I wonder if it just kind of went dead.
Weird.
But it just
it was that spiritual warfare, man.
Low battery. Is yours gone?
I don't know.
Low battery.
It's that spiritual warfare, man. We were talking about
it's
that.
It's not turning on when you press it?
I don't know.
Is that one still on still?
This one is the one that Ellie took. Sure.
This one died.
Okay.
We should sign off.
That one died. Okay. Okay, guys, when I was listening to a podcast earlier today, actually.
Yeah.
It was talking, we were talking about, I was talking about,
hi guys.
Listening to my podcast earlier today. And they were talking about, we are, but okay. I was just like, they all are mixed or nothing. Reminded me earlier today. We were talking about how, like, the enemy will use, like, what you watch and, like, what you listen to, like, influence you. And all of a sudden, my podcast, like, it just stopped talking, and then some random financial podcast or not. And I was like, excuse me? What? What's happening? It was really weird, but that just reminded me of earlier today.
Was that supposed to be funny?
No, it wasn't. I was like, wow. In the middle of talking about how, no, like, in the middle of talking about how, like, the enemy will use what you listen to and what you hear, and they turned off my Christian podcast, and some random other
podcast came out. Turned off your podcast.
That's what I'm saying right now, guys.
Dude is invasive of privacy.
Yes, he is. I'm big so for real. Oh, yeah, and they were saying, like, how, like, the enemy is not God's equal. And, like, things like that. And I was,
definitely not.
That's big, yeah. So for real right now, guys. I was like, okay.
You're like, no.
Yeah. Anyways.
Did you turn the podcast back on? That's the question.
No, I listened to the financial one.
No, I'm kidding.
our audio will be okay.
Yeah,
I'll fix it. I just fixed one for Wednesday's sermon. Ask my about it. Anyways.
Okay, signing off.
Signing off. This has been episode one of interviewing Elliot in her endeavors and missions. We'll have her back on the podcast.
Yeah.